I am reading an excerpt from the Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver, beginning on page 400. For those with different books, it is Rachel's first narrative in book 4, Bell and the Serpent. Maybe I shouldn't say so, but it's true. Leah is the cause of all our problems. It goes back to when she and father commenced World War III at our house. What a crazy, mixed-up scene. Leah would rear up and talk back to father straight to his face, and then, boy oh boy, the rest of us would duck and cover like you had to do whenever they dropped the A-bomb. Leah always had the uppermost respect for father, but after the hullabaloo in church, where they voted father out, she just plumb stopped being polite. How it started was her deciding she was going hunting with her little bow and arrow. My sister, little Miss The Lord Is My Shepherd, now thinks she's Robin Hood. I'm surprised she hasn't tried to shoot an apple off my head. If we had an apple, that is. There's not a speck of food anywhere. Ants ate everything people had stored up, which was not much to begin with because of the drought. It clouds up every morning and gets muggy for an hour, but then the sun beats down and dries up everything. Market day looks like you just came out of your fallout shelter after a bomb attack. Nobody there but a few old guys with car parts and knives and cook pots, hoping to trade for food. Lots of luck, Charlie. We're only still scraping by with what Mrs. Fowles gave us off their boat, plus some eggs, because thank goodness Mama Wanza brought us over 2 laying hens after the ants ate up ours. She lets her chickens just run here, there, and everywhere, so they escape their fateful death by flapping up into the treetops. I happen to think Axelroot could get us some food, too, if he tried. But he's been making himself scarce for months now, supposedly because he's on some top-secret mission. It's enough to drive you crazy. He said he'd bring me cigarettes and Hershey's chocolate when he came back, and I was thrilled at the time, I'm sure. But geez, oh man, right now I'd settle for a good old-fashioned loaf of Wonder Bread. Well, the next thing we knew, Tata Nadu announced the whole village has to go on a big hunt, and that will save us. All of us together. It is quite involved. The plan, as Nelson explained it, is they start a fire in a huge circle around the big hill behind the village. That hill is mostly tall, dead grass, not jungle, so it would burn up in a flash. The women are supposed to wave palm leaves and chase the flames in towards the middle until all the trapped animals inside get completely nerve-wracked and jumped out through the fire. That's the cue for the men to shoot them. Kids and old folks get the wonderful job of walking behind and picking up all of God's creatures that got burnt to a crisp. Nelson says every person in the village is to be there. Required participation. Well, fine. I can go walk through a burnt field and get covered with soot from head to toe. I gave up long ago trying to pass the white glove test. But Leah's little plan is to go with the men right up front and shoot things with her bow and arrow. Her new best friend, Anatole, seems to encourage it. When they held the meeting about it, he kept remarking how she is a very good shot, and if we're dying of hunger, why should we care who shoots the antelope as long as it gets killed? And Nelson jumped right in to agree with Anatole, saying we should be glad for every arrow that shoots straight, even if it comes from a girl. Honestly, Nelson's just proud of being the one that taught her to shoot, and Leah's just primarily a show-off. Tata Nadu and the older men were all against it at the meeting. Tata Kuvundo especially. He sat with his lips pursed until whenever it came around again for his turn to talk. Then he'd stand up in his white wraparound robe and tell whole entire stories about horrid things that happened in the olden days. Poison water coming out of the ground, elephants going berserk, etc., when people didn't listen to him, and insist on doing things not the normal way. Then they'd all say, "Oh yeah, I remember." The old men all nodded a little, sitting up straight with their elbows close to their sides, hands on their laps, and feet flat on the ground, a little bit pigeon-toed. The younger men leaned back on their stools, with their knees wide apart, taking up all the room they needed, and were quick to yell out what was on their minds. Mostly it was in French and such, but Ada took things down in English in her notebook, and held it where I could read it. So, for once, she made herself useful, as well as a bump on the log. Naturally, Father had his own addenda for the meeting. When he got his one chance to speak, he tried to turn the whole hunt around into a kind of new, improved prayer meeting with an animal shooting at the end, which nobody listened to because they were all jazzed up about a girl wanting to hunt with the men. I'm sure Father resented his own daughter being such a distraction. He's just lucky for Father he never had any sons. He might have been forced to respect them.